step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Women in Business radio show with Sean Murphy, connecting women in business around the globe.
Hello and welcome into the Women in Business radio show studio. I'm Sean Murphy. My co-host today, because it is still Bring Your Husband to Work Day, is
Mark Jennings, the stunt double for Adele.
So Mark is in the studio today. Actually, our guest in the studio is also a guy. You're going to notice that in a moment when he says hello. He's Dr. Ant. He's a mindset expert, a speaker and an author, and he's going to be helping us with taking your life off autopilot and how to start living your life in purpose. Welcome into the studio, Dr. Ant.
Hello.
You see, and you've got a guy with you.
We've got balance today.
This is what we're like. Do you know, we just sort of heading off a little bit. I also host the Women in Business Big Show. And the photographer there, and he's been a photographer since, he's been the official photographer at the Big Show since it started, I don't know if it was 3 or 4 years ago, because we've had COVID in between. And I had somebody comment on social media and also say something, possibly the same person, at the event, about how awful it was that this was the Women in Business Big Show and I had a male photographer. But you think, well, okay, he's really good. Pete is really good. He's really good at photographing. He's especially good at photographing women. And he's especially good at photographing women who are running around, which is, let's be honest, it's the default state, isn't it? Really? Just running around. And I was going to say the guys are running after us. But that would be wrong. But that's what he's good at. He's the best person for the job. He has a ton of integrity. A little bit of a shout-out, actually. That's Pete Bresser of Bresser Photography. Bresser Photography. And you'll see him at the Women in Business Big Show again. And it just sort of struck a nerve with me. It struck a chord. I said, do you know, just because I'm a businesswoman doesn't mean that every single person I ever have to work with has got to be a woman. And just because it's the Women in Business Big Show doesn't mean that every single person there needs to be a woman. Of course they don't. We work with blokes. That's it. And blokes work with us. And we all need to sort of get on with it and deal with it and be in a community and have enough security in what we're doing to use the best person for the job. It doesn't matter what gender. Can we say is sex or gender now? It doesn't.
I don't know.
It's also.
I can't commit to that.
It's also very confusing. I just never quite know what to say. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who they are or what they look like or what, you know, whether they wear knickers or pants. It's about how good they are at what they do. So, welcome into the studio, Dr. Ant. I just need to do, actually, a little bit of a shout-out for the Women in Business Big Show, and especially for Adele Martin, who is a sponsor. She's also a speaker at the event, and she's going to be running the Women Fab Over 50 section. I have no idea what that's going to look like yet, because we've just introduced it, but it's going to be there somewhere, where we're going to be celebrating, is the wrong word, I think acknowledging that that we reach a certain age, and for me that age was 50, which is a long time ago now, and that actually you start to think, I think there's something different that needs to go on here, I think there's a different direction, something needs to change, I'm changing, and actually I don't care what people think anymore, and we potentially start looking at other ways of doing things, and getting out of our box a bit. And it could be that we want to write a book, it could be that starting a business, it could be leaving your job, it could be leaving your partner, leaving your kids, it doesn't really matter. I think it's a time for different directions. And we also sometimes have challenges with our health. I know that's a period when I started to feel quite old, actually, and I started noticing that things were hurting and aching, and that I needed to do something different if I wanted to maintain my mobility. And so Adele, who does all of that sort of thing, is going to be running that section. And that's it, really. So, I've done. I've warned myself.
Right, bye.
I've spent now.
Final record.
I just need to take the chewing gum out. I've left that in again. Hang on. Okay. Need to put that somewhere where another presenter doesn't put their knee on it or something. That never goes down well. Hang on. We go. Right, that's sorted. Okay, let us explore a little bit here with Dr. Anton what we're going to be talking about. So take your life off autopilot and start living your purpose. Now, I think what I want to do first of all is just explore a concept with Dr. Ant before we start talking to him about what he does and who he does it with and all of that sort of thing. And I want to explore the concept of being conscious, which is this, let's not be on autopilot and being conscious. For me, the autopilot thing became quite obvious, and I'm sure so many people have heard this. It's when you're driving down the motorway and you arrive at a place when you're all safe and everything's fine. You've just got no idea how you got there. Your head was somewhere else. You don't know where it was. It was having an argument with somebody, or it was thinking about a problem. Whatever it was off doing its own thing. Meanwhile, the rest of you was driving down the motorway and you got there safely. You just have no idea what happened in between. That, for me, is being unconscious. Not spread-eagled, flat out, sort of across the gear stick and you know, head resting on the passenger seat, but just my brain is not there. So what for you, Dr. Ant, what do you mean by autopilot and unconscious? And I hope it's sort of pretty similar, otherwise I'll just have to go.
Well, just to declare, I am a bloke, and today I'm wearing pants, not knickers.
Okay.
So I hope that sorts out all the gender stuff.
There'll be photos later, so you may regret that.
But it's really important, isn't it, to have an awareness about self. And you're absolutely right about everybody nowadays is starting to get a little bit more conscious about what's going on. But what does that really mean? And I'm going to create a statement here just to explain that. And this statement is that most people spend 95% of the time completely unaware of what their unconscious mind is thinking and the decisions that it's making. Mm. And by default, because it's unconscious, we're unaware of it. So what's really going on? And you're quite right what you said about doing that car journey and taking that car journey, and you get to the end, you think, well, how did that happen? Did I go through a red light? Mm. No, did I nearly run somebody over? And the reality is, no, you were perfectly safe. And we need to think of it that it's not physically like this, but I explain it like this because it's a really easy way to visualize, and we all visualize to some extent or another. And what it is that if we visualize the brain as having two components, really, and if we look at the front part of the brain being your conscious part of the brain, and if we look at that and create that as a map as only being around 5% of the size of your total mind, your total brain, and then unconscious is 95%. And as we're sitting here today, you know, we're not thinking about our balance, are we? We're not thinking about digestion or what's going on with our blood pressure or blood sugars. All this stuff is being processed unconsciously by that part of our mind, the unconscious part of the mind. And it does this automatically on autopilot based upon learnt behaviours, habits, beliefs, values, and things that we've gone through in our life and our failures and successes or whatever we want to call them. But they all come from a point of being unconscious and unaware, because if we was to be living our life completely unconscious, you're right what you're saying, and the terminology is becoming a lot more common nowadays, which is living life on autopilot. You know, we always do the same things and we always get the same outcome. And I often work with clients and they say, but I'm always ending up with the same kind of partner. I'm always eating the same kind of food. I'm always having the same problems. I'm always having the same arguments. I'm always doing... And it's like
they're just stuck in a hamster wheel.
Well, yes and no. It's not just they're stuck in a hamster wheel. It's that what's happening is their unconscious mind is always processing the same beliefs, the same values, the same behaviours that it's always done. And if we always do the same stuff, we're always going to get the same outcome all the time. And the key to change, and do you know what? As you can tell now, I do love a natter. But just now, when I was listening to Helena talking, I was mesmerised, because the stuff that Helena was talking about was absolutely bang on point about being successful in business. And it's about that belief and that intent and that value and that passion. And that's really what happens at the moment, is so many people don't have that. because they're not conscious of the opportunity which presents itself in the future, because so many people have gone through life and been told, you're not good enough. You know, well, you can't do this, or well, you don't want to do that. And it's absolutely right what both yourself and also Helena was saying just now, that actually that's their problem, not yours, because they're valuing the decisions of what you're making based upon their learnt behaviours, their values, their beliefs, their wants and dreams and aspirations in life. But actually a lot of it comes down to fear. It's the fear of what happens if it goes wrong. You know, and this might seem a little bit deeper today, but I'm going to mention it. If we root down to everything, most of the time, it all stems down to that as a species, as a human species, we're a tribal species and we long to belong. Mm. And we've got that inbuilt in, within our structure, that we have to be part of a group. And we call it a tribe, and we have to belong to this tribe. And we see tribal attraction every day. We see it in football. I belong to a certain team. That's my tribe. Although I don't actually support football, but that's what I would say if I did. Fashion, you know, I prefer that brand. That's my tribe. My family, that's my tribe. And we don't belong to one tribe. We belong to hundreds of tribes, because we're longing to belong to that set of value structures, that set of belief, those ways of doing things, those morals, and etc. And what happens is when we are inbuilt as human beings, when we designed back at day one, whenever that was and by whoever it was always about belonging. And with belonging, the opposite flip side of belonging is the fear of not belonging, i.e. rejection. So that's why so many human beings suffer unconsciously with rejection, because it's built in their programming of, I may not be good enough. I may not be accepted. And that's the thing that happens to us all the time, unconsciously. But we can change that unconsciousness, because what we can do, and this is what I show people, and we might get onto this later on, but I've created a way in showing people how they step out of that unawareness, how they create that awareness of self, so they can have that intervention of that conversation. And we all have it, don't we? We all have those words that go around in our mind, and we hear ourselves chatting to ourselves. It's like, oh, what if I could do this? What about that? What would they say? And then here comes the common one. Ready? What will they think of me?
Or somebody or somebody else's voice. The first time I became aware of the concept of unconsciousness or being aware was actually when I became aware of this conversation going on in my head. You know, I'd be standing at the sink and I'd be having an argument. I'm not going to say who with, and it's not Mark. But I'd be having an argument with somebody. And this would just be going, and it was quite a nasty argument, round and round and round. Yeah. And then one day I suddenly went, why am I having this conversation with this idiot? And it's a real person, by the way. What is that? It's not healthy, for one thing. It's not very nice. And really, shouldn't it be thinking of, you know, my brain should be doing other things, not having a conversation with a book.
Can I just say something on there? Because I'm so glad you brought that up. This is something I discovered about 4 years ago. And is that when people listen, whether it's to themselves or whether it's somebody else, there's normally two forms of listening. They're either listening to understand, here comes the classic one, really, or they're listening to reply. And, you know, if you take that on board and just process that for a moment, and when you're talking with somebody, ask yourselves the question, the person you're explaining something to, and work out, are they listening to understand what you're trying to get across, or are they listening to build a reply? And you can see it. They're not really listening to what you're saying. They're thinking,
they're sort of, nudging, but what about this? Or what?
They just want to get the words.
It's like me here.
But it's also, that's what we do to ourselves. When we are talking to ourselves, we're normally building that reply to ourselves. We're normally talking to ourselves, but we're not really understanding what we're saying. What we're normally doing is talking to ourselves to form a reply, to create a defence.
Yes, okay. I get that. I'm just letting that
sink penny
in.
Dropped, eh? I heard that penny.
I'm just letting that sink in. I've got to wait in case Dr. Ant thinks I'm just waiting to reply.
Trying to double bluff here.
Yeah, okay. No, I'll tell you what. No, I haven't got the brains for double bluffing today. Okay, so Right, so basically what you're saying is we're already ready to defend. Oh, that didn't work because of X, Y, and Z.
Exactly, because we have an inbuilt insecurity. Because if by, as human beings, if we didn't have that default fear mechanism, we'd be running off cliffs all day.
Yeah, we'd be dead. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we have to have that inbuilt fear mechanism. And the only challenge is, and I'll take this back to caveman days, when we were built by who, by when, we were equipped with a method to defend ourselves, to protect our own, and to protect ourselves, and to feed, and to thrive and survive. Oh, and some replication in there somewhere as well. And what it was all about, really, was that if we were coming across a threat, we would have to learn how to deal with that threat, you know. And some people will already know this, and I apologise if I'm teaching anyone to suck eggs. But this was really basic stuff when I first learnt this, and it was a bit of an awakening call for me that actually the stuff that goes on in our bodies that we're not aware with that happens automatically on autopilot to equip us to deal with the threat. But that threat, in the original days, it might have been that tiger coming to get us, but the actual way that our body reacts to threat is exactly the same. And it's called stress. And the way that we react to that threat is the same whether it's a tiger chasing us down the hallway, whether it's the bank statement landing, which we weren't really looking forward to, whether it's somebody knocking on the door, whether it's a confrontation, whether it's dealing with an issue that we don't really want to deal with. All these things happen in life. And I studied epigenetics, which I'm happy to explain a little bit more about later on. But it's about the outside affecting the inside, which actually then presents our insides to the outside. And that all sounds inside out. But anyway, but let's not go down that rabbit hole. But what we're really saying what we're really saying is that stuff outside affects us inside. And this threat situation, if we're in a stress situation, and the way I explain this is that when I'm working with people, with clients or businesses, I kind of strip us human beings down. And what I say is we need to imagine that, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, with this lovely team in this studio here. Each one of us, what we really are, we're really a bundle of around 70 trillion cells of energy. Now, when I use the word energy, some people go, oh, he's going all woo-woo and fluffy. And I'm not. I'm actually doing the complete opposite. I'm going down to a scientific route here. And if we break ourselves down to the cellular structure of a human being, we're around 70 trillion individual cells, and each individual cell contains an atom and a nucleus, within that cell is energy. However, that individual cell can become whatever it needs to become. So that individual cell can become bone, it can become matter, it can become fat, it can become brain tissue, whatever it needs to be. And the way it gets those instructions is from our DNA, which is our hard coding. So somewhere in our brain will tell our cells that we need to replicate and you need to become a stomach lining. So that cell will then take that coding from stomach lining from the DNA and produce cells which creates a new stomach lining. And by the way, we have a new stomach every 90 days. Just like a snake shedding its skin, because the way that human beings and cellular structures work is they grow, they divide, they die. And that's the way that everything moves on in life all the time. And when we understand, actually, we're just a bundle of cells, okay, so what affects those cells? Well, mindset, fitness, energy, just about everything. I mean, another thing I say with people is that if you were a Ferrari, you know, in fact, let's make it away from you. Let's say you owned a Ferrari. And let's say you had a choice of putting good fuel in it or fuel rubbish fuel into it. Now, you could make a decision to put rubbish fuel into it, processed fuel, fast food fuel, whatever you want to do. Something's cheap, you can just grab it at the petrol station and chuck that fuel in. Would you expect that Ferrari to perform well? And of course, the obvious answer is no. But that's what we do as human beings. We fill ourselves with processed stuff, whether that's food, information, media, beliefs, gossip or whatever we want to be. And of course, when we feed ourselves with that, we're never going to perform. So it's really important we become aware of what we're putting into our mind and body, because that's how we're going to perform. And I took so much from Helena's talk just now about the clarity of, you know, her drive, her ambition, and it came across so in such a calm and clear way. That's what she's going to do. So she will be successful because that's what she's going to do. It's as simple as that. Whereas I've had interviews with other people and their terminology is so different. You can hear the doubt of building up just in case, what if I'm not good enough? And it'd be things like, well, it might not happen, but if it does, well, straight away we set us up for a fall, you know. So
yeah, a trigger for me is always when somebody says, "I'm going to try and do that." As soon as somebody says, "I'm going to try and do that," I just know it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
If I'm working with them one to one, I depending on who they are, I'll go, "Do you know, that's not going to happen, is it?" And they go, "Well, how do you know?" I said, "Because you're going to try. You
exactly.
either do it or you don't
do it. I'm so glad.
Yoda, isn't it?"
It's
really
so
true. Really, yeah. really true. Yeah.
So glad you brought that up, because, of course, what do we do when we finish trying? We've tried.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Oh, it didn't work then.
Yeah, no. Well, but it was
just
never,
do.
It was never going to work, was it? So the consciousness, the being aware of the conversations, the being aware of what's happening in the background, maybe that's. Once you've got it, it seems really obvious, doesn't it? And you can hear the conversations going on, and you can hear some of the doubt and what's happening. But before you reach that point, and I'm guessing this happened, at least I'm hoping I am, otherwise we're going to have to talk about something else, that when somebody comes to work with you, and let's just mention very briefly, so you've got a book called Quick Wake Up the Pilot.
I do.
So once you understand what that's all about, that's one thing, isn't it? But if, say, you're not there, you're listening in and you're thinking, what are these people talking about? Wake up, what pilot? What is this rubbish? How might somebody be feeling before they get to this point? What sort of symptoms? What sort of symptoms are they going to have before they go, okay, I need to get help because I'm doing, feeling,
yep.
thinking. What are they going to be? What's going to be going on with them?
You ready for this?
Go on.
Why is my life always like this?
Right, okay.
You know, if somebody thinks
going round in circles, why is this always happening? Doesn't matter what I
Absolutely.
Do, I come back here.
Yeah, okay. Why do I always end up with the same problem? Why do I always end up back in this space? Why do I always end up with the same kind of bloke or girlfriend or whatever it may be? You know, it's why does my life always end up like this? It's because you're running an autopilot.
So they're feeling quite frustrated.
Yep.
They're feeling quite frustrated. They've tried lots of different stuff, and the result it always seems like, you know, they start off, oh, hang on, oh, this time it's going to be different. It's going to be different. This one's different, or, you know, this feels different. And then back where we are.
Yeah.
And then it happens again.
Or maybe even if they blame people. You know, it's always somebody else's fault and they don't take responsibility.
Yes.
Ownership is absolutely key, you know. And some people say to me, so, Ant, are you a coach? And I go, no. Because a business coach, the difference here is a business coach will work with you and take you on a journey, you know, a journey of development. Mm. But whose journey is it? And the really important thing is to snap out of that circle of autopilot, is you have to consciously take ownership of your own journey and decide what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you're going to do it. But just take mental, proper awareness, I mean real conscious awareness that this is me, and drop the blame game.
Mm.
The blame game is the most disabling issue because it's not my fault, officer.
But it's really it's really difficult to identify, isn't it? I mean, that's something that I found, is that once you can see that you're blaming other people, it becomes really obvious.
It becomes awkward.
Well, yes.
Because you've got nobody else to blame apart from yourself.
But I think it can be quite, you can be sort of talking the talk and intellectualizing and honestly saying, yeah, I'm responsible for everything I get, all the results I get are all down to me. But then, as you say, it's Dr. Andy saying, and then there's this subconscious that's going, it's not really your fault, it's his fault. He should have done that, he didn't do that. It's the way you were brought up, then that happened, and oh, none of that's your fault. And so you have that, there are two layers, aren't they?
But then you're listening to reply.
Mm.
No, you've both mentioned awareness.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key thing there, isn't it?
You're
aware of what you are doing.
It is. It's switching on that inner radar to be aware of what's really going on in life, because most of us are just doing what we've always done. And there's nothing wrong with that, because the other thing to bear in mind is that the unconscious part of the brain, the 95%, which I mentioned earlier, which runs our life actually, is also able to process 1 million times the amount of data per second compared to your conscious brain. So actually, it's not possible to live consciously all the time, because we just don't have the processing capacity.
Yeah.
If we had to consciously think about everything we do,
we wouldn't be able to breathe. We'd be spending time doing that.
Picking this cup up, this glass, I'd have to consciously think, well, how heavy is it? What gravity exists in this environment? Is it going to spill? There's just too much that goes on. Yeah, but because
you wouldn't pick it up.
No.
Yeah. So it's about recognizing what you need to leave on autopilot and what you need to bring forward and do deliberately.
Yeah, and I've got another little analogy to bring in here, really, and that is this. We need to look at our unconscious way of processing in exactly the same way as a personal computer, as a laptop, as a PC, as a Mac, or whatever you want to use. And what that is that runs a piece of software code to always deliver the outcome, no matter what you put in the front end. So if we're running an Excel spreadsheet, and if some little cheeky IT person has changed the programming to say that when you put two in...
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Two, and it makes five, and it shows five. It doesn't matter what you as a person putting in. If that programming has been programmed to say five, you can put two and two in, and it will always show five. And that's because the programming is skewed, because you've got a behavioural programming in there. So if we look at the unconscious mind and exactly that whatever program exists in your mind, it doesn't matter what you change from a conscious awareness of putting it into the program. So picking up on what you just said now, well, you can have conversations with yourself, but it's going to be fine, but it's going to be this, but I'm going to do that. That's conscious. You're creating that, but you have to change the inner workings of your unconscious processing. Otherwise, two and two will always make five.
Mm. I can see an opportunity here, actually, because I'm waging a bit of a war on positive thinking.
Positive thinking sets you for failure.
We were talking about this morning. I was having a bit of a rant about positive thinking and people who, you know, oh, no, well, that's just thinking negatively, isn't it? You must think positive. And what I was saying was, you have to acknowledge what the truth is.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't matter how many times you say, hey, this is fine and this is really good and the sun's shining. If it's still pouring down with rain, it's still pouring down with rain.
Do you know, you're so right.
What's your take? I need some validation, some external validation.
This is
what I think. I think positive thinking is rubbish.
Correct. Yes, we've got it out there.
It's the truth. You have to acknowledge the truth before you can make a change. So what's your take? And don't be scared. don't worry about the fact of what I've said much.
Now, here we go.
What's your take on positive thinking?
I do a course for salespeople, right? So a company will get me in and say, right, we've got these salespeople, and I really mess up the apple cart on the very first session, because I will say right up front, positive thinking can set you up for failure. And it's like, wow, that really goes against just about every normal belief from a sales and marketing, you know, and the whole way we've been taught to think. But then I explain it. And I don't really mean that positive thinking sets you up for failure in such a short way. There's a lot more to it. And that is, okay, well, we need to go and dig into the why. Why do I need to have a positive belief in the first place? Because the reason why I normally have that conscious positive belief is to try to overcome or overwhelm a negative belief. Right. So if we're running on autopilot of negativity, we will try to overwhelm that and overcome that by being positive, thinking positive, doing positive, and all this positive stuff all the time. Where really the cure to this is not to create this false smoke screen of positivity. Yeah, it's going to be a sunny day when it's pouring out outside. The reality is, let's just take a bit of a dive. Let's just pause where we are for the moment. And I'll talk about 5-minute windows in a moment. And let's just take a bit of a pause on reality. What really is going on here? Why do I need to have that positive, overwhelmed smokescreen? Well, because somewhere in my programming, two and two is adding up to five. I need to change that programming first, because when we change the programming, when we change the way we think, that will change the outcome, and we won't need to go down this yee-haw positive mindset stuff. We will just face reality with what it is. Reality. and can deal with it.
Can I just bring Helena in on this? Because as part of a previous discussion and what we were talking about, and you need to listen to the show that had Helena on it to fully get this, is you had quite a lot of, well, not negativity, but stuff coming towards you that perhaps, you know, what wasn't cheerleader stuff, you know, it wasn't, yeah, you go, Helena, it's all going to be fantastic. And you had to deal with that. But I get the sense that you didn't deal with it by just being your own cheerleader and jumping up and down and ignoring everything going on around you and going, yeah, it's all going to work. It's just all going to work. I'll just have to do it. That you actually did a little bit of analysis and thinking and exploration, sort of not too dissimilar to what Dr. Ant is talking about, actually.
Yes, yeah. I think for me, it's always been about getting really into the detail of myself. So looking at the situation I'm in and trying to, I know it's going to sound a bit funny to take responsibility for everything, because that for me felt like that was really the key. So if anything went wrong, if I blamed it on anybody else, I couldn't change it. But if I took responsibility, then I had control and I could make a difference. And, you know, this started from when I was really young in challenging situations and realising that everything I looked at, if I looked at it in a different way, from a slightly different perspective, and I actually looked around, kind of took a bird's eye view, I could then make a choice rather than having to sort of go with a story or go with an outcome. I could then be in control and I could decide what I wanted to do.
So you could really influence it as opposed to jumping up and down and shouting affirmations and trying to shout louder than the negative things that were coming towards you.
Yeah, I think though there is a place for affirmations, but it's not like a really top level kind of, you know, it's deep.
I think they're given out as a sort of almost, hey, do this.
Yes.
Just say this a lot and it'll become true.
Yes. It's about looking within and saying, do I really feel this? No. Okay. Why don't I feel this? And why, what's the reason behind?
Why is the key?
Yeah. Why? Yeah.
Why is the key?
What happened was something, you know, why do I now feel X, Y, Z? Mm-hmm. And I want to feel this. So how can I get there?
Thank you. I love to see a bit of a practical application in business. Perfect. Dr. Ant, 5-minute window. So we're going to bleed you dry. There's going to be, you're just going to be a husk.
I've got 2 minutes to explain it.
Yes.
I've got 2 minutes to do a 5-minute window. I better talk twice as quick.
What's a 5-minute window?
Okay. When we're in a state of stress, anxiety, feeling depressed, worried, can't sleep, we wake up at 3:15 in the morning, whenever it may be, because a lot of people wake up at 3:15 in the morning, which I explain in another talk. What I do is I create a thing called 5-minute windows, but 5-minute windows are yours, they're not mine. And what a 5-minute window does, it creates the ability to visualise a pause button on life. Okay? And what it is, so many of my clients now do this, and they send me a message, and they say, Ant, I've just had a 5-minute window. Brilliant, because I work very close with my clients. And a 5-minute window goes like this. When stuff's about to happen, you know, whatever it may be, it's just take yourself, remove yourself from that environment, okay, and just take a 5-minute window to push a pause button on life and say to yourself, what can go wrong in the next 5 minutes? Okay. Whatever can go wrong in the next 5 minutes, deal with. Okay, whatever it may be, just deal with that, nothing else. Okay, because you've already told yourself that's all that can go wrong in the next 5 minutes. So deal with that and remove that from. And if you want to, take another 5-minute window. But it's really just biting stuff down to little chunks. But by creating that visual of a 5-minute window, you can call it a power meditation session, if you like. But I show people how to take themselves into that relaxed space, just to quiet the noise down. Use that power of awareness to stop their self-chatter. Stop telling themselves, you know, and stop answering themselves, because they go into that, am I listening to reply or am I listening to understand? And just create quietness and space. And it's literally, and put some nice music. I listen to this pianist, this guy, and it sounds a little bit boring, but when I need my 5-minute window, I go to Alexa and ask Alexa to put on some Kevin Kern. Right? And Kevin Kern just puts on this, he's like this piano music, but it's such chill. It's this really quiet, balancing and calming. And I just sit there and I just think, okay, well, what can go wrong in the next 5 minutes? Not a lot most of the time.
I'm very tempted to have a 5 minute window now, but I don't think it's a good idea to have like 5 minutes.
No, I think it'd be a bit quiet, wouldn't it?
Silence.
We'll listen to some piano music, but
on the radio. So basically, this is quite a simple but powerful technique, which compresses stuff down to a short space of time. It's 5 minutes. Can I handle what's happening in these 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Which shuts off the, oh my God, that happened last week and now look what's going to go wrong. Yeah. And the, oh my goodness me, this has happened. And so in the future, I could fall over, I could lose this, I could do that, something else could happen, I could lose my house, I could lose my...
Yeah.
And it's just like, here I am now.
It brings us into the here and now. And, you know, and with your permission, I'd like to talk about the here and now, because the reality, well, what is reality? You know, one of the things I really talk about, and I have got a story, and that's all in my book, Quick Wake Up the Pilot, and I had a massive wake-up call in 2015, which brought me into this way of helping other people, because I'm not in this business to make a lot of money now. I'm in this business to give back, and as you can probably tell from my voice, I'm in my late 50s, I'm a mature guy, I've been there and done it, I've had the success, I've run the businesses, but now I now realise it's about giving back. And it's about giving back because I've set myself on this journey to give back and be the best I can and just do the best I always can do for others. Because then I've also learned that when you give the best you can all the time, you'll always get results. You'll always get something back. And if you don't, I've also learned I really now don't have a really high expectations of others. And I don't mean that in a dismissive way. What I mean that is from an expectation way. So I know that I'll always give the best I can. Like today, I've come along today to give the best I possibly can. I don't have any expectations to get any business out of it. And I don't mean that from a derogatory point of view to, you know, your listeners or you. I just mean I'm here. My sole purpose is to do the best I possibly can. If somebody contacts me from this in the future and says, hey, Anne, I really liked what you did. Can you help us with? Oh, isn't that wonderful? That's way above my expectations. And it's a really good feeling. And it's sort of setting myself up for that really positive outcome without setting myself up for an outcome. That sounds really...
No. I get that. And I have a similar conversation, but it's not as succinct, actually. When I'm working with clients who may be going networking, or when I have exhibitors at my event, I'm saying, don't come along expecting. It's not, you're not opening a shop. Don't expect you're going to open it up and then you're just going to sell everything you've got, 25 websites and all of the sweeties, and go away again. That's not what you're set an intention to have a really good conversation.
Yeah.
Set an intention to learn something.
Be your best,
something.
Be your best.
Yes, and do... I've never said that. There's something else I'm going to steal. Hang on. See, you thought you were here, didn't you?
I'm just filling you up with quotes.
You're actually here. What you're here is, I just... Everything I need, that's the people that come here, and I just write it all down and take
Excellent.
It. But I love that because it means that you're always we're doing your best.
But it also means that you're by default, you're taking ownership of your journey. Yeah. You're not able to blame stuff on other people.
The other thing that I think you're doing when you do that is that when you do your best, it's okay if not everything goes absolutely perfectly, if you don't get £1 million deal, or you don't get you've done your best,
exactly,
and you can't actually ask any more of yourself.
No, you can't, or others.
I can't think we can end now, can't we? I'm done.
Bye.
Yeah, sorry, I've got everything I need now. Thank you so much, Dr. Travis.
What should we talk about now?
So let's hop very quickly over onto your book. So your book, Quick Wake Up the Pilot, it's going to be released. Is it released?
What I brought in today,
I'm going to give you a
personalised signed copy today.
Oh.
Yes, I know. And basically what this is a pre-release, limited edition run that I've got while I'm sort of promoting my book. It's going out on Amazon and out throughout the world in the next month. And it is, as you say, called Quick Wake Up the Pilot. And it's all about exactly that. It's about taking control of what you think, because what you think, you become. Now, I know that sounds all a bit deep and meaningful, but I like to keep things simple, like my five-minute windows, like, you know, do your best, be your best. And it's about this as well. You asked at the very beginning about, you know, what if people aren't aware about autopilot and living consciously and unconsciously? Well, the way to observe it is to become aware of what you think. Because when we put that pause button, and let's say that if you're listening to this now, do a five-minute window and actually become aware. What are you thinking right now? Write it down. Just take that 5-minute window and just write down everything that's been processed in your mind. And you might be surprised at the stuff you're worrying about. And there might be stuff that you can have no impact on. Mm. And with your permission, there's something else I'd like to talk about in a minute, which is about how we perceive our future based upon events that have happened in the past, based upon the mood we're in on the here and now.
Well, do that now, because I want to get that in before we have to come off air.
Okay, let's do it. Let's go. Okay, so when stuff happens to us in our life, you know, we create values, habits, learnt behaviours, opinions, beliefs, all that stuff about other people and about ourselves as well. That gets collected and formed as emotions, and that gets formed in a part of the brain called the hippocampus. Now, we just need to think of that as like the filing cabinet of us as a human being. And our hippocampus, it's a long word, but it's just a filing cabinet of all the stuff that we've done. So when we go to do new stuff in life, if it's a new experience or a threat or a stress or whatever it may be, what happens is the brain, through a part of the brain called the amygdala, goes to the hippocampus and say, right, guys, how did we do this before? And however we've dealt with it before, it will bring the action back to the surface and enable you to carry out that action. And if it's a stressful reaction, it will then call on other parts of the brain to equip your body with a chemical reaction, like adrenaline or cortisol, to beef you up to deal with that situation. Or if it's a nice, warm, cuddly environment, it could be serotonin or dopamine. It's a way of just making us feel the way we feel. In fact, the journey I went on was all about defining, as human beings, why do we feel, I mean gut feelings, why do we feel the way we feel? Why do we do the things we do? And what can we do about it to be the best version of ourselves that we want to be? Not what somebody else wants us to be, that we want to be. So that's what I learned, right? And this thing is that whatever mood you're in now, so whoever's listening to this, if you're in a bad mood now, right now, something's happened, the kids have upset you, you've had an argument, whatever it may be, if you're in a foul mood now and you fast forward and say, right, how are things going to be tomorrow? The chances are your view of tomorrow won't be that positive because you're in a foul mood now, right? And it's exactly the same as if you look back on the past. Because if you're in a foul mood now and you look back on the past, you're going to be looking back on with resentment, blame, well, it all went wrong, it wasn't my fault.
It's the same trigger, basically. Gotcha. The trigger happens, right, and we react as we've always reacted.
Correct. And however you are now in the here and now has a detrimental effect on how you view the future. So if you're sad now, if you're sitting there feeling I'm really fed up and I'm really sad, if you think about the future when you're in a current sad mindset, your future will look despondent, hopeless. What's the point? Okay. If you're angry now and you think about the future, you're going to be aggressive. Got to get it done. Who's in my way? You know, if you're fearful now.
You've nailed me.
Right, if you're fearful now, guess what? The future is anxiety. This new disease that's all around, yeah? So if you're sitting in the here and now and you're thinking, well, what will happen if? You're setting yourself up for anxiety, because anxiety does not exist in the here and now. Wow. People will be saying, but I feel anxious now. No. Yep. Actually, what it is, you've got a fear of something happening in the future which hasn't happened yet. It's a fear of what might go wrong. That's what anxiety is. And actually, the feeling of anxiety is the cortisol and adrenaline running through your body, creating those gut feelings, creating those butterflies ready for fight, flight, or freeze. That's what we're doing. We're equipping ourselves as a chemical reaction to deal with an issue, which, guess what, doesn't exist. Mm. That's what anxiety is. And the last one, this is just to clip this in there, I'm going to ask everybody here, who knows of anybody that's ever gone to the doctor because they're too happy? No one, right? It doesn't exist, does it? And that's because our default mechanism is to be happy. And that's the point, is that we all strive for success, material stuff, but actually all we really want to be as human beings is happy.
That's brilliant.
Yes. I can't remember what I was going to say now.
Hey, that's blown you away now, hasn't it?
It has. So I was trying to put that together with something else that said that nobody is, that you shouldn't strive for happiness, that it's actually really difficult to be happy, and that what is happy. But I think that's a much, much deeper conversation that we don't actually have time for in 5 minutes.
We'll have to do it again another day.
So we'll put that to one side. So your book, Quick Wake Up the Pilot. and that you use a technique called switched on thinking, and I'm thinking we haven't got time to go through that either. But can you talk about that very quickly?
Very quickly. Here we go. I got in a pickle in 2015. I was in a really dark place and I had to fix myself. I tried CBT, I tried NLP, I tried all the stuff out there to get myself fixed. Couldn't find a solution. So as an entrepreneur, I created my own. And what I did, I looked at all the solutions out there and I cobbled together a homogenization of all these different therapies that's out there. And I created this facility or this methodology called Switched On Thinking.
So that is your own
Switched On Thinking. I made it come out of my head. It came out of my conscious mind, my unconscious mind, my hippocampus, my amygdala. I made it up.
What was the biggest challenge behind that? Because you didn't, you made it up, but you didn't stop at just using it for yourself. You've Correct. Actually now taken it forward. I'm going to assume it's in your book, so it's part of your book. It's part of, you work with your clients with it. You work, and your clients, sorry, I'm just asking questions.
Go on, firing. Go on. Clients,
well, because
I'm nodding.
We haven't got time to sort of tease it out. Your clients sound as though they are business to business clients, so you're working with sales teams. Do you also work with business to consumer, so just people who perhaps don't run their own business?
Okay, let me answer.
Go on.
I've got a video course online, so if you're a consumer and you want to help and you want to know where to get from A to B by changing your mindset, you can do it online. You can Google me with Dr. Ant, which we'll talk about in a minute, but I've got a complete video course all online, which is CPD accredited. So it's properly independently accredited. Okay. And then to work with businesses, I run courses and events and speaking as well.
So you do both of Absolutely. Both of those things. Okay, what was the biggest challenge taking your own personal experiences and your I'm going to sort personal solution and medicine, if you like, to resolve your problem into something that became a business?
Okay, I can answer that really quickly. And what it was, I never realised soon enough that today is never too late to create your tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. I like that.
Write that one down as well.
That's a five of that one. You can't have that one. It's mine.
You can see where I get it all from, can't you? Okay. So let's do a really, really sort of quick fire round here. I've changed the title of this, and I want to get anxiety in this. So we've got take your life off autopilot, start living your purpose, and it doesn't quite work, but I've got anxiety free. So I've sort of got that in there somewhere. So that's sort of what you're doing. That's what you're helping people to do.
Live in the now.
So what is your top tip for that particular topic? You can tell somebody one thing. What would it be?
Okay. Past is gone. Unless you can change it, you're a miracle worker. Don't live there. Future doesn't exist. It only creates anxiety. Don't live there. Here and now is the only reality. So what's around you in the here and now? Love and cherish it, because that's reality.
So find out how to find the here and now and stay
Absolutely.
In it. Okay, looking now at generally in business, I can see from what I've got from a very quick conversation, you were in business doing whatever you were doing till 2015. Stuff went a bit tits up. You reinvented yourself and what you're doing, and you now have a different business.
Yep.
What is your top tip for being in business?
Do your best, be your best, live in the here and now.
It's just quote a quote. It's well, one off.
Hey, you wanted quick hits. I'm giving you quick hits.
Written down, check. Will you
no,
check?
No, there's nothing check. Written down. Are they nothing written? Around.
Okay. And what do you know now that you wish you'd have known when you started out?
What started at what? Doing this or in business or
no,
in life?
That's your choice. You choose where you're starting out.
I'll go back to that quote I said just now, which is that today, wherever you are in life, whatever's going on, it doesn't matter what it is, today is never too late to create the tomorrow you want. Because unless you do something today, different today, tomorrow will be exactly the same as yesterday.
What I'm firing at them now. What's your biggest failure?
Not realizing that I have total control over what my future is.
And let's end on a positive note. What's your superpower?
My superpower is to show people that they can be however they want to be by deciding how and what to think.
Okay, and finally...
Here's another one.
No. Well, hopefully you can answer this one without having to think too much. How can people get hold of you?
Google me, Dr. Ant the Brain Whisperer.
Dr. Ant the Brain Whisperer. Dr. Ant, thank you so much. We've got some super, super useful, usable, inspirational ideas from that. I've got a copy of this book, so I'm lucky. You'll have to go and buy it. Quick Wake Up the Pilot. It's going to be out on Amazon... if it isn't already soon.
Yeah, any minute now. I mean, by the time you listen to this program, it might already be live. but it's going to be within the next weeks. Or if you Google me and find me, drop me an email and I'll stick you on in the post for the right cost.
Look at that. That's Mark. You can't ask more than that. And also in the studio, thank you so much, Helena Hall, founder and CEO of Urnico.
Thank you.
Did I get that right?
You did.
Who's had her own sort of really inspirational journey with her mind and her business. And of course, I've forgotten his name.
Your husband.
My husband. You see, I always tell people,
the other bloke.
Yes, write down the important information you want to give out. Yes, my co-host for today, Mark Jennings, founder of Storm Chasers, digital, WordPress and Google Analytics expert and just general all-round geek. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. We will be back with you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Tune in next week to the Women in Business radio show for more stories, ideas, and inspiration to help you grow your business.